Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Herman Pretorius. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is that the Government of National Unity is under a lot of stress right now. And that is because of the President's intention to sign the Bella Bill, the New Education Amendment Bill, into law on Friday. The DA put out a statement that, quote, the DA has learned that President Ramaphosa intends to sign the Basic Education Laws Amendment Bill into law on Friday, the 13th of September. If he proceeds, despite the DA's strong objection, he will violate both the letter and the spirit of the joint statement of intent that forms the basis of the Government of National Unity. During the negotiations, the DA made it clear that the Bella Bill was unacceptable to us in its current form because it has constitutional implications for the right to mother tongue education, among other issues. The DA urged President Ramaphosa to send the bill back to Parliament for a few simple amendments to bring it in line with the Constitution. The DA went on to say, the DA regards this issue in a mysterious light, and I, John Steenhuisen, will convey to the President the destructive implications it holds for the future of the Government of National Unity. That's quite a strong statement, Herman. And I mean, does that mean that if Ramaphosa does indeed sign the Bella Bill into law on Friday, the Government of National Unity will collapse, or at the very least, the DA will leave? What do you make of this?
I don't think we're at the point of collapse yet. I think the DA would look weak if it walks away from the GNU without. You know, this Friday, I don't think that would be wise, and I don't think we're quite there yet. The DA's position is that with amendments, the Bella Bill could be, you know, brought to a level of acceptability, which, you know, I have my concerns about. It is quite a far-reaching piece of legislation. I think the BBC called it the most far-reaching educational transformation since the end of apartheid. It contains quite hectic things about regulating homeschooling, which I don't particularly like. It has consequences for forced school attendance, with the possibility of criminal sanction to parents if that is contravened, and it has this thing about, you know, risking mother tongue education, which the ANC has always used as a bludgeon to just beat Afrikaans with, where it can get the opportunity, because Afrikaans in their mind is a white language, even though it isn't, and is the language of apartheid, even though it isn't a white language. So it is worrying. And what makes it even further worrying politically is that the portfolio of basic education is a DA portfolio. So it would put Sibiwe Garube in an incredibly difficult position, being the minister responsible for basic education, and then the president just ignoring the minister's input on this legislation. So I don't know if this is a contrived confrontation, if the DA and the ANC have decided let's make a show of finding something to disagree about so that we can show we can agree and sort of have this fake confrontation with positive effects following from it. I hope that is the case. I think Garube herself will be in a very, very tough position if this doesn't happen, if the law is signed on Friday. And from what I can hear, this is not the DA yet preparing to leave the GNU, but this is part of a sign from the DA side that they won't just be co-opted into the ANC's agenda.
Yes, now this bill is going to disempower communities, principals, parents, and empower essentially bureaucrats in the provincial administrations who, let's just say, don't have a stellar track record of delivery or even holding the interests of children at heart. This is kind of interesting in the way this sort of happened, right? Because the president announces this and the DA from its statement seems to imply that it didn't seem to be told of this beforehand. It seems like the decision to sign this into law has kind of gone ahead without telling them. So they're feeling, I think, a little bit left out in the cold. And I wonder whether, you know, this is going to cause a problem for Ramaphosa, because Ramaphosa has very aggressively been trying to look like he's not, as some people in the ANC have accused, a puppet of the DA, even though that's a ridiculous position to hold. There is a criticism being made within the DA, sorry, within the ANC about Ramaphosa. But now, if there's a sort of big stand-up confrontation, it creates a real dilemma for him. Either he risks the GNU as kind of a whole because of the DA leaders. I mean, it's also possible if just one other party leaves, then the thing doesn't have a majority anymore and the government essentially is not functional. So he risks the GNU, or he risks now having to agree to withdraw it, which is a very public way of face down with the DA, which will then only fuel the fires within the ANC that he is a quote-unquote puppet of the DA. I think strategically for Ramaphosa, this was not very sharp. What do you think?
And another concern that I've heard from people within cabinet is that the great frustration is so far that the ANC seems unwilling to accept that it isn't a majority party anymore. And if it did announce, if the presidency did, as it were, go rogue and not inform the basic education minister that there would be the signing of this educational legislation, then that is another concern that the ANC really is still behaving as though it is a 57% party, which doesn't bode well for the GNU in terms of its stability and its feasibility long term. But it also is worrying for the ANC because they've spoken about how, you know, there's been a change of rhetoric to some extent with the ANC after the GNU, Mbalula talking the language of social democracy. And but if they're still behaving with the same sort of dominance mindset that they had before, the ANC is going to have trouble learning the lessons that it needs to learn if it wants to survive as a political party.
Indeed. This will be bad for everyone involved, not least the children of South Africa. Okay, let's move on to our next story. And this is from KwaZulu-Natal, where the MEC Finance, I believe, is from the DA, is running the treasury there, launched an investigation into the use of vehicles and the amount of money spent on vehicles by the KZN provincial leadership. And it found that in the last four months, 16.8 million rand was spent on the hire of vehicles for 11 different provincial government departments. And the new MEC of Finance is proposing that rather than renting the cars, maybe we should buy them instead. Herman, this is one of those sort of wasteful expenditure stories that you just kind of, you can't really believe because it just sounds so stupid.
Yeah, and it's a good win for the MEC, Mr. Rogers there in KZN for the DA, because this is, I mean, the public would welcome this, I think, across the board. I don't think there's anyone who can really say, oh, you know, we could spend 16 million rand over 4 months on vehicles, or we can build some really good classrooms at some really desperate schools, and someone would go, no, I think the cars, that's the people's will. So I think it's low hanging fruit. It's a good political win. It's the type of stuff that the DA did successfully here in 2016 when they took over Tswane, you know, got rid of mayoral mansions and stuff like that. It's really the easy stuff to achieve a win on. One does wonder whether there's something lurking here of the nature of sort of who might be benefiting from these car rentals. Because, for example, in Northwest, there are rumors, and sometimes more than rumors, that some provincial government departments have rented space in office buildings or shopping malls owned by... drum roll, please, people high up in the ANC who get solid income by renting these, you know, office spaces. So, I mean, if it is such a blatantly obvious thing of how about we not waste a few million, One wonders if there's something more sinister lurking here. And you know, we've talked about the construction mafia, the taxi mafia, the water tanker mafia, perhaps not a mafia yet, but perhaps, you know, an aspiring criminal enterprise of just making leeching of public funds easy by the rental of luxury cars.
Yeah, in this case, it seems like the rent extraction, which is a term used by political analysts and economists to talk about when you sort of just suck money out of the system for no productive gain, is in this case very possibly being channeled quite literally through renting, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
But anyway, let's very briefly go on to our last story and just kind of a quick update on this one. We talked recently about the Action SA's sort of seeming moves to want to throw the DA out of power in Tshwane and go into government with the ANC and probably the EFF as well. What's really weird, though, is how confused Action SA continues to sort of be in its messaging. On one hand, you've got people like party leader Herman Mashaba talking about the coalition with the DA being abusive. In a Facebook post, the caucus leader of Action SA in Tshwane said, quote, "The days of white monopoly in Tshwane are numbered. As the clock ticks down, the racists and DA puppets may howl in desperation, but their time is up. In just 16 days, your so-called golden boy will be escorted from power, and with him, the last remnants of your privilege will crumble. We are Mashaba, and Mashaba is us." But then in a letter just a few days before, he had said, "Action SA has communicated, including directly to our coalition partners, that we have placed our ongoing involvement in the city of Tshwane under review. The review is not a premeditated outcome and is intended to gauge the perspectives of a wide variety of stakeholders about their relative performance of this government." Leaders of Action SA have stressed that they have not made a final decision on the coalition in Tshwane. There were various things they talked about, having a survey of people to determine what the view was on continuing the coalition, discussing issues. Michael Beaumont attacked the DA's attacks on Action SA as a weak attempt to mischaracterize our position and reveals in technicolor detail the attitude of the DA that has been so toxic to this coalition and many others. I don't know how, like, if they're going to leave the coalition, why don't they just say, "We're going to leave the coalition"? And instead, there's this sort of bizarre, no, maybe we're still in. How can you still be in when you're saying things like that about the other side?
And in August, the Tshwane caucus leader of Action SA said that there's a review process going on, but the decision to leave the coalition has been made. But there's a review process going on, but the decision to leave. So it's the sort of nonsense that one would expect from Cope, with Cope's moment of glory in the last few years being a press conference that literally resulted in a punch up. But it is sort of weird because, to my mind, Action SA has three possible routes to travel from this point. Either they could come back and say, "Oh, we've done the review, we're remaining in the coalition," in which case they would have massively harmed themselves in the public eye, because then all of this would have been much ado about nothing. So then there would be no real gain for them, except the fact that they showed how much the coalition needs them to be stable here, but they would have lost whatever goodwill there might have been with for them in the city. The other option is that they would be going into coalition with the ANC and the EFF, or the ANC and another party, because the ANC and Action SA together can't get a majority in council. In which case, it just blows up in their face, because then the DA's message over the last month will be proven true. And Herman Mashaba, who as recently as May this year said over his dead body, the Action SA will never work with the ANC, it's a criminal enterprise. But then the third option is that they sort of leave the coalition, but then they don't vote to remove the coalition from power, that they sort of try to take the equivalent of an India on the geopolitical stage position, where they try to show they are, you know, kingmaker, because both the ANC and the DA, on the other hand, need them in power. And that's sort of this way for them to leverage the maximal influence they could get. whatever option might come about, it's bizarre that this review has taken so long. It's bizarre that Mashaba has already made clear that it's an abusive relationship and he wants to get out of it. But Beaumont says they won't. And then Action is there and Swane says, oh, you know, the coalition is done. What they have done, though, I think, whatever the outcome might be, is they've killed their ability to get donors on board with their project. Because if you look at the donors that have been giving money over the last 4 years to Action SA, these are people who either also gave money to the DA or were sort of proximate to giving money to the DA and saw Action SA as someone who could strengthen a non-ANC, non-EFF alliance. And running a party is an expensive thing, and they didn't do well enough in the elections in 2021 or 2024 to be able to afford the party as in its current state. So whatever is happening, it is you know, politically extremely foolish, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense because they're attacking the competence of a government that they're the deputy mayor of at the end of the day. So they're not making friends. I mean, if Herman Mashaba writes another book of worth 15 million rand, or gets Prince Mashele to write it, I don't know what his current rate is. He could just, you know, write a book about how to, you know, lose voters and destroy stable coalition governments. It really is that. That's silly, and this is a party that's
struggling to lose voters and alienate coalition partners.
Yes, there we go.
It's bizarre. Just, are you in or out? Don't muck about. Choose one. Anyway, I'm clearly going mad. If anyone is super interested in politics, please go and check out the American presidential debate that happened last night. You're going to learn a lot of things about people eating pets and other strange topics. Anyway, that's a wrap for today. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.